to plot twist. I forgot.
Maybe.
I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And if you're hearing this, welcome to the roast of R.L. Stine. And listen, a lot of interference this morning. People don't want us to record this episode, apparently, because we've just troubleshooted for 30 minutes. And it's weird stuff's going on. So happy October, because I think all of this is very on par with what we're dealing with. Holy cow.
Yeah, whatever, like, spirit was haunting your microphone the last time we recorded and the little thing popped off and flew away is back.
Yes.
And
with a vengeance.
Yeah, with a vengeance. It's really does not want us to talk about how never try and relive your childhood, because it doesn't live up to your expectations.
Not even doesn't live up. It almost ruins it. And you're like, I know I was little when I read this, but why? Why, R.L. Stine, would you do this to us?
Yeah.
I don't love it.
We read Halloween Party, a Fear Street novel by R.L. Stine for October. And it clearly, it did not go to plan.
No, it did not. I know I asked you if we could stop reading it because I was just like, dude, I am dreading picking this up.
Nope.
I wanted to stop reading after the second page and Laura's like, we must persevere. And I was like, fine, you're right. We can't come here and say, yeah, we didn't finish it. But anyways, what's good with you?
Yeah. How are you guys doing? I thought the first chapter, I was like, oh, yes, I'm very excited. Like, this is going to be so nostalgic because they're in a graveyard and it's at night and it's on Halloween. And then somebody pranks them in like a, you know, a scary costume or whatever. And I was like so excited to feel the nostalgia and relive my childhood. And then like immediately afterwards, like chapter two, I think, because the first chapter is like three pages, is when everything kind of fell apart for me. And that's disappointing. And maybe we should have gone back farther and done Goosebumps, like Red, Say Cheese and Die or something, because like those are middle schoolers, I think. So maybe some of the comments on teenage girls wouldn't affect me. Maybe it's me and I'm like old and cynical and whatever. And I think too much of these things, perhaps. But I just, it really rubbed me the wrong way. Like a couple of things specifically. But I'll let you start with your favorite line of the novel that we read.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, first to backtrack just 1 second. If you haven't read the synopsis of Halloween Party, I was going to say, if you haven't read the synopsis...
We almost did it again!
We almost did again, but I pulled it up. I pulled it up, you guys. We don't have the nice magic noises.
You.
It's okay. So
I really did like the magic noises, though.
Honestly, me too. It's probably going to happen again, knowing us, because we forget everything. Yeah.
That's true.
So... Okay, Halloween Party. The invitation arrived in a blackboarded envelope and was delivered by the beautiful and mysterious transfer student. The inside showed a coffin with the inscription, "Reserved for you," perfect for an all-night Halloween party in an old house on Fear Street. The party was well underway when the lights went out. That's to be expected at a Halloween party, but when the lights came back on, there was a boy on the floor with a knife in his back. Just a Halloween prank? Maybe, maybe not. Now the guest trick-or-treating has turned to terror, and it looks like someone's idea of a party game is murder.
Murder.
Murder. Okay, wait, let's see what my favorite line... I had so many notes in this. One of my favorite things that he said, I think it was at the beginning when the kid is pranking him, because he, like, they're walking through him and his girlfriend. It's at night, of course, and they're all kind of spooked because it's a cemetery, and Fear Street's haunted and scary, and the guy jumps up and he thinks it's a zombie or something, and he's like, do weapons work against the living dead? And I'm like, Terry, have you never seen literally any zombie movie ever? What do you mean? Will a weapon work? I hate it here. And that wasn't even the worst comment, you guys.
Oh, like, this, no. That was base level teenagers are stupid. It gets so bad.
It does get so bad. And I think I ended up looking it up, though, too, because I was like, how old was he when he wrote this, right? This came out in 1990, and I looked it up. He was like 47 when this was written. And I hate the commentary of like, oh, well, they didn't know better. Like, in the 90s, was it really okay to call a teenage girl a tramp? Because I don't think so. no matter what time frame it is. I'm so confused as to why we're describing someone at a Halloween party as a tramp.
I don't know. I don't think it should have been, but I think it, like, absolutely happened a lot in the 90s. Like, I, especially because this is, like, I don't know, early 90s. I think it happened a lot. And I think, because, like, every time I read an old book, I'm like, no.
Yeah,
And it's another thing. Same. I don't want to come off like, I don't know, super feminist or whatever, but like men, I don't want to read a lot of their books because of the way they talk about women. It happens all the time.
Well, yeah, because it's not even like a, I think it's just unnecessary comments are made that don't advance the story at all. And they typically fall into tropes where, like we said last time, or I said, when I was reading Mary, Nat Cassidy is talking about menopause and like a lot of inherently women experiences that he doesn't have. And he wrote in the acknowledgments, like, I tried really, really hard to get this right. Like, he had a lot of beta testers, and there's a way to go about it that is where it won't come across, or you're going to lessen your chances of being like, well, wait a second. And this just wasn't, it wasn't even that. It was like talking about her weight, like, oh, there's whatever her face is. And, you know, she has a bit of a weight problem. Like, who cares? I don't
but
care.
That was absolutely, you know, like, a thing what? In the 90s, because 90s was like the heroin chic. Yes. Like, I'm not surprised at all that someone's weight was mentioned.
No, I agree. I mean, it kind of just holds up, I think, a light to what culture was like in the 90s and even early 2000s with a lot of that, for anyone who wasn't conscious or like media conscious enough to kind of see that. It was very much so. Not surprised, but I just hated it so much.
Oh, I
again, because it's a 47-year-old man writing
that's
this.
That's the thing. Whatever. Why? And I guess, like, you know, he was cranking these things out. There are a million of them. And so maybe on some of them, he was just like, oh, there's a fat girl, you know? Like, God, I don't know. It's so...
Horrendous.
It's hard for me to even like gather my thoughts because I read these books all the time, and so like it's just like another way that like society is like putting these stipulations on female bodies, and like this is targeted at teenagers.
Yes.
And that was just one comment, but there are like several comments. Do you want to say the line about the girlfriend, because I think you really, really liked it?
Oh, this is like the best thing I've ever read in my life. He's looking at his girlfriend, and I think he had just saw Justine, right? Or they had just been talking about Justine, and they're like, whoa, Justine's this model-like woman, all willowy and lithe, and you know what I mean? And then he goes to his girlfriend and is thinking, she wasn't the prettiest girl or the smartest, but she was the most special. What do you mean? Hard stop? What?
I have thrice this week looked at Ray and been like, you know, you're not the prettiest or the smartest, but you are the most special, because I read that to him, and he was just like, okay, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Please help me, because I also don't know. This is just where we're at right now.
Why would you write that down, R.L. Stein?
Well, and then you go back and forth, you know, because so as, you know, they get the invitations, you have Terry, who is the dude who says this, and his girlfriend, Nikki, who also happens to be deaf, which is totally fine, except, you know, R.L. Stein makes Terry say, I shouted for her, and then I realized she can't hear me.
Oh, what? That's not at all the worst thing he says about her deafness in this book.
No. Oh, is it that paragraph of, she didn't want to be treated any different, she's just a normal teenage girl.
Right. That pisses me off, because I'm all about inclusivity. Like, I'm all about visibility. I think it's great that there's a deaf character in this story.
Yeah.
Especially because it's horror, and horror is so predominantly, like, normally abled white people. So when I first saw that she was deaf, I was like, oh, that's kind of forward thinking of R.L. Stein, like including a deaf character. And then like 4 pages later, it's like, yeah, she do be deaf, but like, don't worry, because it doesn't affect her life at all. She sounds normal when she talks, which I mean, hooray. But why is that? It just struck me as very off-putting that he was like, don't worry, it doesn't affect her life. She sounds normal when she talks, and she lip-reads really well. So, you know, she's basically normal-abled NBD. Why dull down a character when you have a chance?
Exactly.
And so that's bad enough. But then, like, towards the end of the book, Terrence, and her have been fighting.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, man, I'm glad she's deaf, because if she could hear what I'm saying right now, she'd be mad again.
Hate. So much hate.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna... And then we're going to turn it and we're going to jump ahead to then go back. You say all of that to then make her the one that saves the day because she's deaf. Because she can't hear all the terrible things that are like going on when they're locked in that room. And she's like, oh, wait, I'm the only one who's not acting like a complete idiot right now. And it's like, hooray, R.L. Stein, you made her save the day. Like, and I think this kind of goes, I don't know. I feel like it's always such a tricky thing to do. In a way, I feel like he just kind of went out of his way to make these comments. Like, was that all you? Was that your editor? Was that your publisher? Like, where did this come from, truly?
It did not come from 2024, I can tell you that. Because someone would have been like, you can't write that. You can't put that in there. And, like, do I think that perhaps...
Like, hey... Get a deaf beta reader. Yes,
absolutely. But do I think that perhaps a teenage boy would think that because they're monsters? Sure, but like, I don't need an adult male being like, it's okay to think these thoughts. Here's my best-selling Fear Street series.
Exactly. Like, you had the opportunity to not do that and just be like, here's this girl, Nikki. Oh, she happens to be deaf. Anyways, next part of the story, like, there's ways to do it. I think that's still like... Okay, awesome. She's deaf. Now let's move the story along and not make these terrible, terrible remarks all the time. Okay, but to go back, I feel like it took forever to read this, even though I think I skimmed the last half, but you go from, right, you know, the lovely comment about his girlfriend to them getting the invitation from Justine, the mysterious transfer student, and no one knows anything about her except that she lives in this super haunted house, potentially.
Yeah, she lives in this, like, crumbling mansion, and the people who used to own it died in a fire, and she's invited 9 people to an all-night Halloween party, and no one can figure out what the guest list is, because it seems like it's just a mixture of wimps and jocks.
That whole dialogue, I wanted to bang my head against the
wall. It's very 1990.
1 point for the wimp team. Yes, I just felt like I was watching a 90s high school movie or TV show the entire time, which, like, that was kind of, it was kind of annoying. It didn't bug me that much, but it was just, like, that and the rampant bullying, I was like, whoa, like, we all kind of, you know, we all miss the 90s, certain aspects
of
it.
Yeah, chokers and you know.
And it's like, okay.
Mud jeans.
Jelly shoes. Right.
Not, like, high school bullying. Yeah,
but not this. And he's just like, here they are, and they're, like, drunk riding motorcycles. Like, what world? Where are we at right now?
I mean, yeah, so I did find that entertaining, I guess is the word. So they're at this party. 9 people have been invited, the jocks and the wimps. And they've been kind of like, these two groups have been kind of like fighting with each other leading up to the party. Like playing pranks on each other.
Oh, well, because we can't forget to mention that you have Terry and then you have Alex, the Silver Prince, who is someone who they used to be best friends. And Nikki had been dating Alex first, and then you don't really know what happened, but now Nikki is with Terry, and they're not friends anymore, and Alex is also invited. So you have this whole other, like, fight within a fight of, ooh, like, you know, maybe you're not man enough for Nikki, blah, blah, blah. Like, this whole fight for Nikki thing.
The love triangle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes, okay, so we're at this party.
So everyone has been fighting and playing pranks on each other. And a couple of people are, like, really mad about not being invited to this all-night Halloween party. And they've been kind of, like, saying stuff to Justine, like, you better invite us or we're gonna really ruin your day, or whatever teenage boys say. It wasn't that. And so they're at this party, and, like, a couple of pranks have been played. They're all very mild-mannered. And then all of a sudden, like, the doors fly open, and two teenagers who have been, like, picking on Justine ride into the house on motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. So cool. Coolest thing I've ever read about in my life.
And they're like, you should have invited us, because if you did, we wouldn't have driven motorcycles into your house. And then they start, like, smashing things, and, like, she's got all of this food, right? And it's from different, like, countries, all the countries she's been to. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is a fish dip from Greece or whatever. And, like, oh, this is from my, I learned this recipe from my travels in Egypt. Like, girl, you're 16. Uh-huh. Calm down.
Right.
And these motorcycle boys come in and they, like, take a bite of something. And they're like, oh, this tastes like fish. And they just, like, throw it on the floor. And there is an adult at this party.
Like, where's the American food? Yeah,
where's the pizza? Mm-hmm. There is an adult at this party. Uncle Philip, I believe is his name. And he's just like, excuse me, gentlemen. Please leave my home.
And it's also worth noting that he's dressed up like a clown, a sad clown with, like, a sparkly teardrop right under his eye. And he's, like, telling these kids.
Get off my lawn.
He, like, those guys push the uncle. And I'm like, really? Like, did this really happen? You're just gonna push him over and be like, but I want to stay at your party.
Get out of here, cool? Old man.
No.
But it is like, you know, like those two kids, Ice and What's-His-Face from Hocus Pocus, when they steal that kid's shoes.
That's what I thought.
I could see them, like, coming into a party on motorcycles, being like, you didn't invite us, call me Ice, look at the back of my head, you know? So, like, I understand, because it's very 1990s coded, you know? Like, yeah. I can envision it, and I can envision them, like, picking on adults, because those kids in Hocus Pocus are super mean to the witches.
That's true, they were. And I guess this is just more so dialogue on other things, but, like, who cares if you weren't invited? Maybe just do something else with your time. Like, why are we spending our time and energy on something that you can't change, you know?
It's because of Justine's sexy body.
Oh, how could I forget that Justine is just so beautiful and, like, a supermodel? She's
the hottest.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
She's dressed as a vampire, and they, like, describe her, like, body-hugging gown and her sexy body, right? This is supposed to be a teenager that we're talking about. And, like, look, I know teenagers talk about each other that way. Girls do it, boys do it, whatever. But I was just like, this is weird. Maybe it's because I'm old and I'm reading about someone who is supposed to be 16, you know? Maybe that's why I was so grossed out, but, like...
No, I think, again, it goes back to you have an older man writing this about young women, technically. Like, yeah, sure, these characters don't exist, blah, 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 but he is still talking about teenage girls, and, you know, again, teenagers are reading these books and are just gonna be like, oh, okay, like, you know, I think that the reception to this, if other kids were reading this now, would probably be the same as our reaction, you know, for the most part in some capacity. I think at the same time, like, it's just reinforces again, like, this is how women should look. Like, if you don't look like a sexy blonde model who's real thin.
But it's not women. This is girls. I want to be very clear. Sorry, correct.
Yes, thank you.
This is girls. That we're supposed to be talking about girls here. We'll get into something a little later, but these are stipulations that, like, he's putting on someone who's supposed to be, like, 16 years old.
Exactly. But yeah, so after you have, of course, Justine in her nice vampire outfit, and the only person, of course, that is suspicious of her is Nikki, and Terry's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, no one else is suspicious of her. You're just jealous.
You're jealous, blah, 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 because she has been paying me attention. I danced with her. Maybe you're jealous. Okay. You keep saying I'm jealous of Alex, but maybe it's just you. And you're trying to pin all these pranks on Justine because she's making eyes, like, at me.
Yeah, like, no one else feels this way. You're going out on a limb. Like, we were invited to a party. Stop, you know, guessing over the guest list and thinking about that it's so bad, it's fine. And you have all these little fights, which I feel like are so many fights. I mean, again, it's been 10 years since I was this old or that young, you know what I mean? Or a little bit longer. So, you know, maybe it's normal for that many fights in a relationship. Like, are we okay? This was just a lot of Terry speaking nonsense quite frequently about things that don't matter.
Yeah,
I hate it.
It was very vapid, yes. Like a lot of it, which is fine because it's not supposed to be a serious book. You know, that's not what these are marketed as. These are mass market paperbacks that are supposed to be just like sheer quick entertainment. So like that I can forgive. I can forgive like the petty fights or whatever. These are teenagers. Teenagers absolutely do that. That I can like move past, but like some things I just can't. But yeah, so Nikki is the only one who's suspicious, like, from the start. And then at this party, they start playing pranks, right? They get rid of the bad kids, the bad boys, who were breaking things and pushing the uncle. They, like, finally kick them out. And I believe both Terry and Alex do this by jumping on their motorcycles and threatening to ride the motorcycles away.
So it was Terry and I think it was David, because then Alex tries to go after them and they, you know, beat up Alex. And... so they don't, but then, yeah, good they old hop David. On.
Oh, yeah.
They hop on to the bikes.
Alex gets punched in the stomach.
And then, like, kicked pretty hard, too, you know, as normal kid things.
Yeah. I think Terry gets punched in the head.
Yes, you're right, he does.
Poor Terry.
I was kind of hoping he died.
Terry deserved to be punched in the head.
I wouldn't have been sad. I wasn't sad that it had happened. But yeah, they do that. They're all out. Bye-bye, bad guys. And now we're going to do a treasure hunt because we've hidden all these things. So now jocks and wimps, you go find stuff. And they all separate. Mm-hmm.
Find stuff in my house. Here's a list. You have free roam of my house.
Yeah.
Basement, attic, bedrooms, everything, but like be careful because I've put out some tricks or whatever.
Yeah,
which is a fun concept, and I could see it playing on like a television show kind of well, just like kids opening doors and skulls flying out at them or whatever. Like,
right.
I can see that was an entertaining portion of the story. Like, I thought that was a more interesting plot point than like the bad boys are breaking things. So
yes,
they go on this treasure hunt, and it's again wimps versus jocks, and Nikki is like, you're both dumb, I'm doing some investigating. And she finds Justine's room, and Justine's room doesn't look like a typical high schooler's room. Her like books are over there, there's no clothes, and it doesn't make sense. And she like finds a secret room in the closet filled with clothes that look like they're perhaps for a much older woman. Like, what would a high schooler need with two fur coats, question mark?
Fair. Valid question.
And she finds a picture of a couple that looked like they're in the 1950s. And so now she's like, something is fishy with Justine. And then she tries to tell Terry, and Terry is like, I'm busy treasure hunting, you jealous hag. I have to go.
Basically. And then I think sometime around that, like before or after, she gives him this revelation that she's had, because she's like full on sleuthing Nancy Drewing this stuff, and everyone else is just absolutely. Like, haha, I'll go find a vial of blood, because that's not a hazard. And they go up to the attic, and he sees a body hanging, and he was like, oh shoot, that's Alex. And you know, I think David is with him again, and David's freaking out, and they run down. And yeah, you know, they're both so scared, and they all, you know, they get the crew, they go back up, and there's nothing there. And, you know, he saw him hanging, there was like blood and blood on the floor, and then they go back and the blood is dried and no one is there. And Alex just pops out because it was a super cool joke for the jocks. And
ha 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 ha, I'm not dead.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, cool, fun times.
That's
and
nice.
Then they just go back to treasure hunting like nothing happened. And meanwhile, Nikki's like, okay, I'm just going to go keep looking, guys. Thanks, bye.
Nikki is like, I would simply love it if one of you would listen to me. No, no, pranks? Playing dead? Okay, I'll just do it on my own. And I believe right around there, they're like, oh, like we're going to watch a movie or something. Like, the treasure hunt is over. The jocks won. And they're like watching a movie, and Nikki just like disappears. And like while she's disappearing, Terry is like, man, I'm glad she's deaf so she can't hear Alex and I fighting. She'd be so mad.
Yes, because what it was is like, yeah, so they get there, he gets the gift, or Alex accepts the treasure, whatever. I forget what he got, like chocolates, right? Or something. That was their big win for this.
Yeah, I think it's like chocolates from like Austria. Again, from one of her many, many travels as a 16-year-old full-time student, but fine.
Yeah, fine. I mean, I don't see the issue. And then, you know, they're on the stairs. Nobody is
suspicious. She's sus, okay? First of all night party, a co-ed all night party with one male chaperone. Please be real. No shot. My mom would be like, absolutely not. I'd rather you were in prison. Like, there's just...
Yes. I'll pick you up at 7, have fun for 30 minutes is what that would be, to be honest. Yeah. That's all that is. And, you know, he goes up, accepts the gift, walks down, and she's, like, leaning on the railing and just completely falls because off onto a couch. And her uncle is like, someone sawed off the handrail. Like, you could see it. Who would do this? Who and everyone's this? Like, no, not us. We wouldn't do that.
Our Uncle pranks Phillip. Are harmless. We pretended that we were dead. We didn't pretend to kill someone else. We would simply never. You saw never through ever. It, Uncle Philip, you weirdo.
Exactly. And they're like, and Justine's like, okay.
When I think of Uncle Philip, I can't not picture, this is possibly like the worst movie in the entire world, but I can't help picture the butler from Scary Movie 2.
That makes it that's so much better. What,
that's I what I
it.
Pictured as Uncle Philip the whole time. When he's like, who sawed through this? That's what I saw.
Yeah, he's like, I can't do it with my strong hand. No.
This is the worst movie. But you see what I mean? You can equate these two things because that movie is like horrible garbage, right? And that was like the early 2000s. Uh-huh. And these go hand in hand. Only one is rated R and one is rated PG.
Yeah, exactly. Same. Agreed. Basically same thing. Uh-huh. And, you know, Justine falls off and then she's like, oh no, I'm okay. Don't let this ruin the party. And then they play a game, which is like, you know, it's called truth or something. And
tell me the worst thing you've ever done.
Excuse me. How about no?
Tell me the worst thing you've ever done or face a penalty. Girl, what's the penalty?
Go stand on one leg until I tell you not to. Like, okay, sure,
so,
Justine.
Just to be clear.
Fine.
At this point, people have broken in on a motorcycle, pushed the uncle, smashed a bunch of vases. She has fallen from a second floor railing onto a couch, and no one is like, I want to go home.
Exactly. Everyone's just like, yeah, party. And also, by the way, like, they're not drinking.
No. There's no drinks.
Like, they have sodas.
The two bad boys that showed up and smashed things were drunk. Correct. Everyone else has the moral high ground because they're not drinking. They have sodas and pizza.
And pizza and all the food that Justine learned to cook from all her time around the globe.
From all her travels.
You know, and she learned how to make all these things. Yeah. So then you have Terry's like, you know what? I don't want to play this game. And he and Nikki had gotten to another fight. And he's like, I'm going to go find Nikki. Where is she? Because it takes him forever to realize, because it's dark, that he can't see her. And he's like, oh, no, she's not here. And then they go. And I think it's at this point, right, where he goes back up to the attic again. Mm-hmm. And he finds a dead body. And this time it's like someone is actually dead.
Yeah, he finds him in a closet, right? Mm-hmm. Because then there's like an open window at the end of the hallway. And he finds, what is it?
Yeah.
Is it Les Whittle that he finds with a knife in his chest in the closet? And he's like, okay, very funny, Les. Like, great prank, but we already did this one. And then he's like, where's your pulse, Les? An actual line. An actual line from the book is, where is your pulse? And he can't find one, so he holds his finger under his nose or whatever, I assume. And he's like, oh God, no breath. Oh, this is bad. And then Terry goes and tells David, and David comes upstairs. And he opens the closet door, and the body's gone.
And he's like, oh my God, are you joking? Are you kidding us? And then for whatever reason, they look out the window and see that somehow Les's body is on the roof. and they're just like, let's go get it. So then what ensues is
I believe it has to be 20 minutes. It's raining at this point too, right? Like a storm has started.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. So there's a body on the roof, knife sticking out of the chest, and they're going to drag it back in through the window.
Correct. With like some rope or something. I forget what it was, but they get something and they're going to tie it around and they just, I don't remember. Maybe I made that part up in my head.
They
but
get the
then they
rope
get the body
from
back in.
The noose that Alex fake hung himself with.
It's, yeah, they sure do, because, you know, we don't waste anything around here.
No, those props need to be multiple use. So they lasso the dead body and they yeehaw pull it back in through the window. That's not what happens. But I think I would have liked it more if that is what happened. I'd be like, that's believable and true.
It would have made it way more entertaining if you just find out David knows how to lasso a body. Like, come
on. Turns out that David doesn't have the upper body strength to pull in the dead body because he's one of the wimps. So he uses the motorcycle before to pull the body in. I would have really liked that.
Ugh, that would have been way better too. And everyone would have been like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Not now. We're rescuing a body. It's fine. Go back to plain truth." Body. Whatever, we're rescuing the body. We're gonna give him a funeral. And whatever, they get the body and then they go downstairs and are like, "Hey, Les is dead." And everyone is like, "You're kidding me, right? Because we already went through this and you lied the first time, Terry. Are you sure you saw it? You're not crazy." And then they all see the body and they believe it and they're like, "Oh, shoot." And are just like freaking out. And you have one girl, who was it Trisha, who was like, "I'm leaving now, finally. This is what finally is like, okay, I'm done." Uh-huh. And she runs out the door literally a second later, twists her ankle. Like, okay, girl, good
nice
job.
Work.
Sprained
nice
it right
work,
away.
Trisha. Wasn't she also dressed as a cheerleader and she was like holding a giant megaphone?
No, okay, so there, okay, maybe I'm mixing up because there was that girl and then there was another girl. Like, this was like a popular girl, I think. I don't remember, but there was, it was the girl with the quote-unquote weight problem was the cheerleader.
Oh, okay.
And then there was something about, there was another comment about her costume, and I was like, that's super cool, R.L. Stine, thanks for that, and whatever. And then they're all just like, "We don't have cell phones, we can't do anything, there's no phone service."
Wasn't the comment, like, "At least she looks like she's having fun," or like, wasn't it in that,
yes,
in that vein?
Basically, yeah, where it's like, "Oh, she's a cheerleader," and whatever the comment was, I've since expunged that from my mind. And then it was like, "Well, at least they're like," because she's talking to someone else at the party and laughing, and he's like, "Well, at least she's having a good time."
Oh god,
why wouldn't she, sir? Let's... like, why wouldn't she?
Oh god.
And then you have this whole time, Terry was like, went up there to find Nikki and then forgets, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta find Nikki." And Alex is like, "You mean you let her go away, or you let her, she can't stay with you, can't keep track of your woman?
You let her out of your sight? She's just a little woman."
Yeah, she can't survive by herself. And so they begrudgingly search together, because, and then he makes the comment of, "It doesn't matter if Alex or I find her, as long as we find her and whatever." I know, okay. And they, Terry goes down into the basement and finds her knocked out.
No.
And then doesn't he get knocked out or something?
He finds her knocked out and he wakes her up and she's like, "I think someone hit me." And he was like, "How did you get down here?" And she was like, "Shoved in a dumbwaiter."
That's right, yes.
And
okay.
So they go back upstairs, but she, and she's like, "Oh, guess what, Terry? I found a pill bottle and it's Esther?" Was that the name?
Oh, no, it was Enid. Enid Cameron or something.
Enid. Well, I was pretty close.
You were close. Older E name. And yeah. Cameron was the last name of the family who had died that had previously owned the home. And that's when she also shows him finally what makes him like, "Oh, you're right. Justine is suspicious." Because throughout this part too, Justine is like flirting with him because there was a whole point before the party started that the jocks, or the, not the jocks, the bullies had cornered Justine and were like, "You need to let us come here or else." And then Terry saves the day, and then Justine's like flirting with him, flirting with Alex, and so she's like wrapping everyone around her finger, and she finds this, Nikki finds the newspaper article, mm-hmm, about how the Camerons actually died, which was in a car crash where they were like, it was on Halloween night 28 years ago, and they are going home to their daughter Enid, who was only a little year old baby, and then they're hit by two like joyriding cars full of teenagers.
I briefly want to mention, I want you to finish about the joyriding teenagers, but their age difference, uh-huh, the couple, they're 26 and 20. The girl is 20. The woman who dies,
seriously,
is 20 years old, and the man she's married to is 26.
Vomit. That's lovely. I skipped over that too.
Okay, keep going.
That's pretty par for the course in this book.
Drag drag racing teenagers.
Drag racing teenagers in like a Corvette and some other super cool car. And, you know, they strike the couple, a couple dies. No one in that car is harmed. Like the one car that hit them had some damage. The other car didn't have any damage and none of the kids died. And Terry's just reading this. He's like, well, that sucks. And Nikki's like, dude, did you not notice any of the last names? And he was like, no. And then, like, his dad's name is in there. Les Whittle's dad is the one who drove the car who hit them. And everyone, you know, you find out that everyone who was invited is the son or daughter of one of the teens there at the time. And Terry's like, oh, my God, Nikki, I'm so sorry. You were right all along. We must warn everybody. And so they go back up. And they try to say that, you know, repeat the whole thing. And Justine's like, ha ha, Terry, that was way better than when we rehearsed it. You're so funny. This was another prank. Ha ha ha. And everyone's like laughing and having fun.
I was literally just talking to Les and we were having so much fun over this little joke that we're pulling.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they're like, oh, okay, it's, you know, whatever. And then they all go into the dining room for it because she has another surprise or another treasure. So I forget what she said. And they all go into the dining room and I forget what is said because Nikki's like, I'm not giving this up. And she says something to her. And then I don't remember what it was, but then she just like runs and turns away, goes out the door and locks them all in the dining room. And I think just runs outside and starts speaking to them through the open window.
She goes outside and there's a window with like a metal grate over
it. Right, yeah.
And she's talking to them through this window. I cannot for the life of me remember what the little notes on the dinner plates said.
Oh, you're right. I don't remember that either.
But there were little notes and let's just say they said, mwahaha, die now.
they probably did.
Because that is par for the course. So she runs outside and this is when you find out that she is actually Enid, the daughter of, I don't know, Carl and
Sissy. I think the woman's Sissy. Name was Sissy or something like that.
I can't remember the names of her parents, which would cause Enid to be really mad and lock me in the dining room and try and set me on fire. But she's like, surprise, surprise, your parents killed my parents and now I'm going to kill you. I'm 28.
I'm a 28-year-old woman. And it was so easy to enroll in high school, which like we don't ever get like any kind of, I understand it was a short book, but what I really would have loved to know is, like, what person was like, sure, like, how did you enroll, ma'am? Were they just right. that lax in the 90s? Come on.
Because Uncle Philip says that he had no idea. Did he help enroll her in high school?
That's the other thing, too, is, like,
he must have.
You know, he, well, also, that's the question, like, does he know that she's in high school, or does he think she's doing something else all day? Like, does she think, he has a job or something?
He definitely knew, because he was like, I agreed to do this party thinking she was going to prank you and scare you. I didn't know what she was actually going to do.
Which, what adult in their right mind would be like, yeah, let's go prank some kids who had nothing to do with anything.
Correct. Let's terrify some 15-year-olds. But that's horror, though. Like, absolutely, in a horror book that's not this, that would happen.
For sure.
But, whatever. So she's like, your parents killed my parents, and now you're gonna die like them. And she turns on, there's, like, a overhead speaker in this dining room, and she turns on car crash sounds.
Yes, she sure does. And it's, like, super loud and screeching and screaming. And
it's car crash ASMR.
Yes, it's true. And also, it's just like, where did you get that? Like, that, there's no way. That took forever to find back then. Come on.
It was the 90s. Come on. No, she just, like, took it. Do you remember? You don't remember. And neither do I, because I was one. But in driver's ed classes, they used to show you, like, horrible accident videos and dead bodies to, like, scare you into driving well.
That sounds about right.
All right. So she just took, like, the soundtrack from one of those driver's ed videos and played it. And so all of the children are like, ah, my ears, my soul, the car crash. And because it's so loud, they just start, like, freaking out and sobbing and, like, going into corners. And then Justine lights the house on fire.
Yeah, because what I don't get, though, about that, and I don't know if, again, I'm just being way too overly critical about this book, but like, I don't understand why they're all like huddling in corners because it's so loud. Like, wouldn't you just be like, okay, let's get the heck out of here. Like, let's do something. Like, it's not one of those things where it's like such at such a high decibel that it messes with your mind, like blah, you know, like something that was maybe kind of more science-based, and I'm not a scientist, but like I would have accepted something like that where it was just so loud to a point where it just automatically triggers your immune system to do whatever and you die or something. My dog agrees with me. So that whole thing, and you automatically just transfer to Nikki's point of view, and she's like, oh my god, like everyone is just not like doing anything, they're all huddled up in a ball and I'm gonna go do something. And she goes to said dumbwaiter because she realizes that there's one in there because there's no other exit, and she finally rouses Terry and Alex and they put her in the dumbwaiter, and she goes down after like having to throw her body weight a couple times because it's stuck, and she just flies down. And to be honest, I don't remember what happened. Did she like run outside and like get them out, like, or was it the uncle that came to get them?
No, she like her Terry and Alex help her break down a door or something. She takes the dumbwaiter down and maybe Terry comes with her, I don't remember, but then she runs back upstairs and like opens the door from the outside. And they all run outside, and Justine is like, you meddling kids, or something.
That's, it felt like a Scooby-Doo ending, where she was like, and you ruined it,
because then she's mad
because they're talking to the uncle.
Except for she legitimately killed a child.
That, okay, yeah, she's like, you guys suck, and it's like, well, wait, Justine, you just committed murder, and you plotted and enrolled into a high school as a almost 30-year-old woman, and, okay, anyways... And Uncle Philip is talking about all the reasons, like, I was so bitter about my brother's death, and maybe I gave that to her, and I didn't know she was insane, and yada, yap, yap, yap.
And right, then, like, I wanted to scare you guys, but I didn't know how far she was gonna go, and now a child is murdered, woe is me, I'm so sad, wah, wah, wah.
And then Justine's like, I trusted you, Uncle Philip, you've betrayed me, and then she starts running at them, and then just does, like, a hard fake, and, runs into the house.
To what? Where are you going? Why are you, where are you going? What are you gonna do? You're,
yeah, I think
she's gonna end her life?
Wanted to die in the flames.
Okay.
That's kind of the vibe I got, and then.
Great.
Terry and Alex are like, no, and then they go in to get her, and then. All is well, and it ends, and everyone except Les is alive.
Right, and then the book is over, and Terry and Alex are like, hey.
We're friends again. Because he had a glint in his eye that showed respect. And
fist bump.
Bros. Yeah. Let's go drink Bud Light or something, whatever bros
let's
do.
Go spit.
So.
That's what I assume. They just, like, stand outside and, you know, spit. Scratch each other. I don't know. No. Probably not that part.
I really hope that's what they they just spin and scratch each other.
Probably not that.
Holy cow. And then that's the end of
the
book. And it could not have come soon enough, to be quite honest.
I didn't enjoy
it.
Like, but at least when you find out that Justine is 28, you're like, I feel less like I need to bleach my eyes, because he was talking about her sexy body.
Fair.
Because she had the body of a woman. And she was a high schooler. So it makes it a little bit less like I need to smooth out my entire brain. And I guess that's good.
I could have, going back to one of the things you said earlier, I could have dealt with just a corny horror book. That would have been totally fine if it was just a little over the top. You know, because it had the beats of a slasher, right? Mm-hmm. You had the opening scene, which was like the blood sacrifice. And I was like, okay, is someone going to die here that soon? Like, it's been a while since I've read like this YA of a horror book. I don't know.
Right.
And then it just goes. But if it weren't for all the comments about Nikki and, you know, weight problems. And yes, I agree with the Justine part, you know, with her being a woman. I don't love it, but like it is, it's better than talking about young girls that way, I guess. Not I guess, right. It is. If it weren't for those commentaries, I probably would have just been like, oh, okay, like this was fine. But it was all of that was just, dude, and the dialogue was just not it at all.
It's very cheesy. Yeah. I really did it without the commentary and like the things that they say about Nikki and the fact that they kind of like negate her deafness and make it unimportant, and then, like, make it important at the end because it benefits the whole.
Correct.
I sure would have been like, oh, you know, fun nostalgia, but instead, my childhood is ruined.
Basically, yes. My childhood is just fake. Part of me agrees that, like, oh, maybe we should have read a Goosebumps, but honestly, like, I don't know if I want to read another R.L. Stein book after this, to be quite honest
with
you.
Girl, I tried.
You did
try. I was like, perhaps it's the 90s. I will give it a go. I will sacrifice myself. I volunteer as tribute, and I will give it a go. And I read one of the super thrillers that they released with the Fear Street movies, and on the first page, the girl is like, I'm not the most beautiful in the world, but I'm pretty. I'd say I'm a 7. We don't need that, R.L. Stein. I don't need that part. Just have her say my hair is brown, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need... Mm-hmm. You don't need to have a teenage girl be like, I'm a 7. What is that? That's weird. And that was released in, like, 2017. So he's, like, 60-something.
Ew. Vomit.
Stop. So, yeah, I'm done with that time of my life. So what we've discovered is never revisit your childhood. Can we do a brief palate cleanser? Because...
Yes. You bring it up because I think I know what it's going to be, but please bring up our palate cleanser for the love of God.
I last week was like, Davin, the September house is the best thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. And since our last recording, you listened to the audiobook.
I did. So I, like I said in our last episode, I have been in such a weird audiobook slump and, you know, just the phases of wanting to listen to a book. And so I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. I have credits to burn. So I listened to two of your recommendations from our last episode, but the September House, dude, I don't get why people didn't like it because that was so fun. Like, that was it's the funniest thing ever. Like, oh, God, the house. You know, I think I have until, like, the third week in September until the ghosts really start screaming. So, like, I should probably get some sleep now before, you know, that happens. Right. Like, it was just perfect comedy without taking away from the horror. And also, it gets really heavy. Like, there was a lot that I wasn't expecting. And some, like, commentary on various things where it's, like, It makes sense why you could deal with this. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. But it was just, it was such a good time. And the narrator is perfect. It was so good.
She did such a good job with that character. And, like, it is. It's big feelings. It's big laughs. And it's also big horror. Like, it's just, it does everything so well. And I truly don't understand. I would have to go back through and, like, read reviews for people who didn't like it, because why?
I think from what I remember, and this is just, like, vague memories of a review I read, I thought I saw something where it was just, like, because it's not just straight up horror. It's not a straight haunted house story. It's a horror comedy. And so I can understand if you're not going into this expecting a horror comedy, like, sure, but I wasn't expecting it to be that funny, like, the entire time. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just great. It made sense. Like, it was so well done the way they handled it.
I wish she had another book out this year, because that's her debut.
Was it really?
Yeah. Man. That's her debut novel.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I can't wait to read whatever else she writes, because it's just so funny.
Yes.
And scary. And, you know, I do think maybe I cried once. Like, it's...
I was definitely emotional, and there were some fun twists, like, some things where I was like, hang on a second, I wonder if this is, like... Because, you know how you read a couple books, and you notice the cues, and I'm like, okay, there are some things that kind of matched with other things, so maybe this will be a plot twist later, which one of them was. And it was just... Without, like, us doing a spoiler chat, I would just say that it is the perfect book to read just anytime, especially in October. So if you're on the fence, I would highly recommend you do it.
1,000% pick it up. And on the tails of that, if you like comedy horror and you haven't seen Tucker and Dale versus All Evil, which is a movie, you're missing out.
Is that the newer one? Because didn't they just do another one?
No, it's old.
Oh, it's the old, okay. Because it's been such a long time since I've seen that, but I know I have. Been quite a while.
The first time I watched that movie, I didn't really realize, like, that it was comedy horror and, like, what I was in for. And I, there's a line from that movie that I repeat to this day, and I watched it probably a decade ago.
What is the line?
These college kids just keep killing themselves.
Oh, yes. Okay, that does.
Because every time Tucker and Dale walk outside, like, a kid is leaping into a wood chipper or something,
I guess. I mean, what's going on?
And it's, right, it's just, it's very funny. So I really like that. I read something that you recommended.
What?
You didn't recommend on this podcast, but you talked about it on your Bookstagram. I listened to Devils Kill Devils.
Oh, that's right. Okay, because we talked about this. So what did you think?
I really liked it. I thought it was great. I got lost at the end, which we talked about a little bit. I feel like I missed a big chunk of it, and I need to, like, re-listen to the end, because it was like, oh, this is happening? Oh, this is happening. And then the book just ended. And it doesn't help that I had a NetGalley copy of the audio, and so, like, it said I had, like, an hour and a half left, and then it ended, like, 20 minutes later. And I was like, wait. What?
Oh, weird. Okay, because mine, I had the NetGalley copy too, and I didn't pay attention to that, because I know he has, maybe I'll have to, did you listen to that entire last portion? Because I listened to some of his footnotes, because I really, what I liked is just how he built the lore and all the world building and just the characters. It made me want to go into a vampire binge, to be honest. Like, any vampire, anything.
I am chest deep in a vampire binge right now, and it did start with that book, and the vampires in that book are so different from, like, normal vampires, because they're really, like, more like god-like supernatural beings, and, like, yeah, they might eat blood or whatever, but that's not really,
that's only, like, a fraction that's not really of who what, they are.
Right. That's not really what sustains them, and it's not really, like, the main focus of their being, and, like, oh, it's really good. I don't want to spoil any of it, because it's just, like, it's shocking the direction that it goes. Because at first I was like, this is, I don't get it. I don't understand what we're doing here. And then, like, one chapter hits where a new female character is introduced.
That, oh my God. I was driving to work when I read that, and I was like, oh my God. Like, it was such an exciting chapter.
Right, but it just, like, completely turned on its head. I was just, like, not expecting it whatsoever. And when that happened, I was like, oh, I'm fully in now. Yeah, like, vampires and this other thing I like a lot? Wow. And that's, I'm not spoiling it. Because I want you to go in blind and find that out on your own, because it's wild.
Yes.
But it was just, it was really good. And it did, it's very reminiscent of, like, The Stand by Stephen King. It's different, obviously, but it is, it did give me that vibe, because in The Stand, it's like good versus evil and, like,
got
whatever.
It, right.
Except in this one, you don't know if it's good versus evil, or if it's evil versus evil, or if everyone is just kind of like, there. Is anyone good? Is anyone evil?
Which is my favorite, like, kind of book. I love those kind of, like, where the lines are blurred, where it's like, okay, it may be gray, maybe evil, but there, no one is, like, fully good. Like, there's no one person on any one side.
Yeah. So, just, it's great, and I highly recommend it. And it did kick off, well, it didn't kick off my vampire binge. I read Lucy Undying, but I'm going to be completely honest, I didn't know that Devils Kill Devils is a vampire book. I didn't read the synopsis, really. I saw you be like, amazing, 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 clap, clap, clap. And I was like, cool. And I started reading it, and I was like, oh, this is a vampire book. And then I read So Thirsty. So it was just like, doot, 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 doot.
You're just hitting all the things. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm still finishing up Vilest Things. I'm hoping to finish that up in the next few days. And then I can't decide. I have so many book club books I'm supposed to read, but, like, So Thirsty is really calling my name, and I may just end up doing that instead, and just, sorry guys, late to book club again.
Yeah, it's really fun. You know? It's a really good time. I read it in two sittings, which I do with, like, most Rachel Harrison books, because they're just, like, the commentary on friendship that she does, I'm just like, I relate. I really think that Rachel Harrison and I, and you, we should all just be best friends.
I agree. Yes, because I read her books. I was like, wow, girl,
she
gets
me. 100%. She sees me. She wrote this book for me.
Right. She did. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And exactly. That's how it feels. But I loved that one. I sent you a message earlier and I was like, hey, help me. What do I read? R.L. Stine ruined my life. I'm having a hard time focusing on anything. And you were like, read Bury Your Gaze. But that's one of the books that I had tried to start. And I was like, no.
Okay. So what's on the docket? What are you considering?
I went back to Incidents Around the House.
Okay.
Which I had started. And that's by, Josh Mellerman. Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had started reading that and then I got distracted by So Thirsty, so I stopped reading it. And I don't know, a physical book is just not calling to me because I'm cursed by the spirit of R.L. Stine. So I was like, I'll go back to my ebook copy of Incidents Around the House. And the way that book is written, it's written from the point of view of a child as a child would write it.
Oh.
Yes. So at first I found it really challenging, which is why I like set it aside and moved on with my life. But now, because I need something that's like short and snappy, it's working really well.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, I read like, a quarter of it before I came downstairs today, before my twilight nap. So I think that's going to work out and I'm pretty excited about reading more. I am going to go like run an errand, but then it's time for me to use my, what do they call the clicky Kindle things?
Oh, like the page turner?
Yeah, I love it with my entire heart. And I'm going to go lay down on the couch like a sloth and just click my little page turner button with like a fall ASMR in the background. And it's going to be the greatest evening of my life, I think. I'm also going to make...
so lovely.
I'm going to make some popcorn. I got a sampler pack of popcorn seasonings from Amazon. There are eight of them. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do tonight because Raymond's not going to get home until like 7 or 8 o'clock.
Heck yeah. I wish. I have a event to go to tonight for work. So otherwise I would be 100% finishing Vilest Things because I got to a really good point last night. It was so funny because, finally Friday night I was going to like cook dinner, read a little bit of Vilest Things. And then the prequel of Rosemary's Baby came out on Paramount and I was going to watch that. Except my Wi-Fi was just, it was just going so slow and it was like not loading. And I was like, fine. And then I ended up getting to a really good part in the book. And I was like, okay, that's why. So probably going to do that. And then I almost started Incidents Around the House when I finished. Because I also read We Used to Live Here. I finished that this morning. Ugh,
it's so good.
So divert to then go back to what I also just heard in audio. I understand what you said about Tannis. Like, first off, I think we just need to have a Terry Miles episode to talk about all the things because that is such a core part of our friendship and who we are that like you know you have to read it to get it or listen to it but
you have to listen to five seasons of a podcast followed by two seasons of a podcast followed by two seasons of another podcast to discover how
and read the book
right and then read and the book. Several books to discover how David and I became what we are today. Because I remember when I found out that you listened to Tannis, I was like, oh my God, we really are like...
The spooky twin comparison that is like so accurate because I text you randomly. I'm like, okay, Laura, I passed two white cars and then I saw someone wearing the same outfit as me today.
The door is open.
And she was doing the same... She did the same workout as the door open. And you're like... No, not yet. I was like, God, when is the door going to be open?
Do you remember when I texted you a picture of the parking garage I used to use in Chicago and it said the door is open?
Yes. And I was like, take me there right now when I visited you and the door was not open.
It was not open anymore. Sorry to anyone listening who has absolutely no idea what we're talking about. We're talking about the podcast Rabbits. Yes, it's great. We love it. And if you listen to the ads, you'll find out that Neil Patrick Harris loved it. So go ahead and listen to Rabbits.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I love it. Yeah, it was so good. And We Used to Live Here, I think... It's just, again, it's one of those things where it's a combination of all the things that I love in just one book. And it was really good. And not to spoil it again, was not expecting that ending, but it is one of my favorite kind of endings.
But
to be honest, I loved it. And yeah, so finished that. And then I just started American Rapture this morning by CJ Lee.
American Rapture sounds so weird.
Oh, dude, I'm like, it's going to be so weird because I honestly read the synopsis once, so it's supposed to be about, like, our main character is a young Catholic girl, and of course, dealing with Catholic guilt and going through oh my God, I think I'm, you know, possessed, but really she's just discovering that she's a human person with wants and needs and, you know, that not all is bad in the secular world. But I think there's going to be some sort of virus or something where it's like a pandemic type of apocalypse. So.
Correct. But the virus makes people need sexy time.
Right. Yes. I remember something about that. And I'm like, that hasn't come into play just yet. But I remember I was like, this is going to get, I remember something. I'm just reading Mayfly. I was like, this is going to get sexual. I remember. Yeah. I know that for sure.
It's in the synopsis that like she's a little Catholic girl and the virus that takes over the world makes people like super lustful. And I was like, you know what? Davin's going to volunteer his tribute for this one. I'm not doing this.
Oh, yeah. I will report back. We'll see. It's actually pretty long. It's 14 hours. So that's a little, a little longer than the last couple audiobooks, but we'll see. I have to finish it up quickly because of what we're doing next episode. Right. So
I haven't started I haven't started a new audio. I want to do one more before our next thing, because our next thing, I don't think will take me very long, but I just finished We Came to Welcome You. I can't remember the author's name right now. Hold on. It is by Vincent Tirado, and it's suburban horror. So a lesbian couple, one is Black and Puerto Rican, and other is Korean. She's from Korea. Sorry. Excuse me. They buy this house, and it's like the only thing they could afford. Blah blah blah. It's in this gated community. Hooray, hooray! But the neighbors are all like real weird. And they are insistent that they sign the HOA. They're also, you know, white. Besides, there's one.
Of course.
Their neighbor is Black. There's one Black neighbor. And then there's one other gay couple. But everyone mm-hmm. is like, you know, Lululemon, blonde hair, Stepford wife weirdness. And that's all I really want to say. It gets real weird. I actually had a really hard time getting into it. But the main character is like this. She's like surly and she doesn't love a gathering. And I relate to that because I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm a shut in, but she is an introvert married to an extrovert who like is frequently called a social butterfly. And I like,
oh no,
I really get that because like Ray is like, hey, let's go ask that couple over there if they want to play pool with us. And I was like, why don't you stab me with the pool cue instead? Because that sounds horrible.
Horrendous. Uh-huh.
And this is something that that we do. Like, I make do. And so does Sol, our main character in We Came to Welcome You. But it really took me, I wanted more, like, horror. And I think it was there. I don't know. I had a hard time getting into it. But there were parts of that book that made me laugh so hard, just, like, from a social commentary standpoint. Like, there's the scene, I'm going to spoil this. If you are upset about hearing a scene that has nothing to do with the plot, really, skip forward 30 seconds. So the wife brings home quinoa and Sol is like, why would you do this? Like, we eat Korean, or I'm sorry, she's not Puerto Rican. She's Dominican. I just remember, cause I was going to say we eat that or like Dominican food. Cause her parents are from the Dominican Republic. I apologize. So, and the wife is like, I don't know. It was there. It seemed like a good idea. And she's like, how do you cook this? And Sol is like, I don't know. I'm not white. And I had to pause it. And I laughed. I seriously laughed for like 5 minutes. And then like when I go back to listening, the wife, I can't remember her name right now, is like, okay, Sol, the people who aren't white eat quinoa. And she's like, cool. Then I bet you $10 that if you were to call a white person, they'd have a recipe for quinoa. And she's like, make it 20. And she gets on the phone and calls someone who lives in the neighborhood and like just pulls $20 out of her purse and hands it to Sol. And it was just a really funny scene. So there are like things like that that are really funny sprinkled throughout the book that I just had a really good time. But I don't know, it kind of like dragged, but it didn't. I don't know how to explain it. I finished it this morning, so I'm still kind of like collecting my thoughts on it. I did not like the ending, but that's all right. It was an entertaining listen, but I don't know, for some reason the ending didn't work. And
just wasn't it.
Right. It just wasn't it for me, but it's, you know, worth a read. But I haven't started anything new. I want to do one more like spooky season audio before I get into, no, I should just do our November thing. I should get our, no, I don't know.
I would say do one more because I started American Rapture, so I'm okay. locked in for like another 11 hours or so, I think. So I would say you're right.
I should definitely do one more because again, I am I'm in the car for like 3 hours a day, so I'll definitely finish at least one before you're ready.
Correct. So I can't even have any because the last two I listened to were because of you, and the one that I want to start, I also got Incidents Around the House, but on audio. So, hoping to get to that.
Let me know how that goes.
I know. Now I'm really curious.
Is it read by a child?
How that's even gonna...
What if it's read by a child?
I have no idea.
What if it's read by a child?
I would die. That would be so funny. Let's see. So, yes, it is narrated by someone who...
Sounds like a child.
She could just have a high voice, right. Yeah, but she sounds like a child.
It could be, like, it's an extremely good voice actor that sounds like a child. That's going to be... Mm-hmm. Look, I've only read 25% of this book. That's going to be terrifying. It's going to be really scary.
Well, listen, if I'm late to reading what we're reading next, just you can blame yourself for that one, because then I might just jump into this and just be reckless. But, no, we'll have... Yeah.
Whew. Well, you have a whole month.
Can't wait.
It'll be fine.
I do have a whole month. Ooh, so we'll be good. We'll be good. Welp, you guys, thanks for bearing with us on this dumpster fire of an R.L. Stine roast. Oops. We tried really hard. Just keep the past in the past. Look at your childhood with rose-tinted glasses and let's read better horror, please.
Let's not do that again. There's a Knock Loose song, which is a metal band, and it's like, all my heroes are in hell. And like, now I know why.
Facts. Correct. They're not wrong. So, holy cow. If you've read an R.L. Stine book recently, let us know what you thought. You can find us at Plot Twist I Forgot. That's our handle,
right? That's still our handle, Devin.
Plot Twist I Forgot. I forgot our handle again. Whatever. And you can find our handles in the show notes below. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
See you soon.